I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of Genesis and the chapter number 39. That is Genesis chapter 39. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word. And we commence reading at verse number 7 in this passage of God's infallible truth. That is Genesis chapter 39 and commencing to read at verse number 7. And we're in the midst of studying the temptation that indeed the Lord, or not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but one who indeed was very like the Savior, the Old Testament picture of Christ in the life of Joseph. And just as the Lord Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, so we find that Joseph was tempted here in this 39th chapter of the book of Genesis. So let's get our Bibles open, let's follow the reading of God's Word, and then keep the Scriptures open as we would pray and then search the Scriptures together. Verse 7, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all things that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, but thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there therein. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass that when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought him in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me. And I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass that when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until her Lord was come. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. Came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass that when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Let's keep our Bibles open and pray that God will teach us through this precious word. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that this is indeed Thy precious word. We thank Thee for Thy teaching already, Thy guiding us, Thy Lord leading us and warning us. O God, I pray in Jesus' name that Thou will take of Thy word this morning and by Thy Holy Spirit write Thy word today afresh upon our hearts. O Lord, that we might learn more and that we might be careful to live the lives before the world, that they might know that we have truly been to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear and answer our prayer, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for His glory. Amen. Now, in our last study in the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis, we came to this tremendous temptation that came into the life of God's servant Joseph. We already considered the timing of Joseph's temptation. It certainly was a time when everything was looking good, when everything was going well in his life, where he had been made one of the chief servants in Pharaoh's house. And therefore, it seemed that favor was on his side. And it was in the midst of that that there came a great trial of faith and came a great temptation. And of course, we need to remember, as we have said, that we have got to be vigilant, we've got to be sober, because you and I have a roaring lion always seeking. He's going about as a roaring lion, this
enemy of souls, the devil himself, and he's always seeking to devour us. And we need to be on the alert, and we need to be watchful, and we need to be careful. And of course, not only do we think about the timing of it, we think about the thinking behind the temptation. Because you see, the devil couldn't get Joseph to sin whenever he was down in the pit and his brothers had sold him, and they'd pushed him and they'd shoved him and they took his coat off him, threw him into the pit and lied against him. The devil couldn't get Joseph to despair. But now, of course, remember, Joseph's a young man, and therefore he has got like passions just like everybody else. And so the devil puts in Joseph's path a temptation of something that ought to delight a young man of Joseph's age. And so the devil thought very carefully of how, because he's very subtle, but he's also very crafty, and he thinks about the thing that would make Joseph fall. And that is the friendly admiration of this powerful woman. Joseph's on the opposite way. And of course, how is he going to further his prosperity, his advancement? Here is the fascination, here is the admiration of this person who's right in Pharaoh's house. It is Pharaoh's wife. And so the devil says, well, I couldn't get him down. I couldn't bring him down by despair. I'm going to bring him down by delighting in something that a young man of his age will certainly desire. And here is the favor of his master's wife. And the flattery here, of course, in having the master's wife looking and flickering her eyes at Joseph to make him fall. You see, Joseph, the devil thought, was very vulnerable, and he would be an easy prey to such a temptation. But notice then the thrust of the temptation. In verse number 7, we find that Joseph had the temptation where his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. This is a command that she's given to him. It's not something she's recommending to him. She simply makes a command. And we find that she makes this brazen advance, this sinful, adulterous advance to God's servant Joseph. And it's a clear thrust of what she's saying. It's simply, Joseph knows what she's saying. You and I know the temptation that is before this godly young man. It is, lie with me. But notice the transgression of the temptation. Because you see, in the midst of this temptation, Joseph needs to remember who he is, who he really is, and the one whom he's really serving. Now, the Bible says that Joseph, verse number 8, Joseph refused. And you know, every time Potiphar's wife sought to trap Joseph, he didn't say maybe, but he refused her emphatically. And one of the best ways to overcome temptation is that emphatic no. That's the greatest effective weapon against no. But of course, there was a reason why that Joseph was saying no. And because he realized that to say yes, there was a transgression in the very heart of that temptation. It was a twofold transgression. Notice what Joseph said there in verse number 8. Behold, my master. Joseph acknowledged that he had a master. My master, he said, wotteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all things that he hath into his hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Now notice, he's very clear in this, because he says here, my master. He acknowledges that his promotion, whilst it is important to him, but Potiphar is still his master. And he's saying here, my master trusts me. He trusts me. Because he says, my master doesn't know anything what's in the house. He has committed everything into my hand. He says, there's none greater than I in all this house. In other words, my master has entrusted this all to me. And of course, what he realizes is this, that if he was to say yes and sin against his master, he would betray the trust that his master put in him. He would be betraying the trust. Joseph's integrity, Joseph's dependability was at stake here. And to him, that mattered a lot, because to render evil for good is devilish. He loved his master. He owed everything that he had in his promotion to his master, and he happily was willing to serve his master. Now notice, he was very careful. He says, my master has put everything into my hands except his wife. That's why my master, everything else, it says, my master, he has committed all things, neither hath he kept, verse 9, anything from me but thee. And Potiphar had given everything else in the house into the hands of Joseph, but he had not entrusted his wife into Joseph's hand. And notice what he said. He's very clear. He says, my master has entrusted everything but thee. And then he says this, because thou art his wife. And friend, here's a very clear statement here. He says, thou art his wife. You see, Joseph knew where the line was drawn of his responsibility and his accountability. And Joseph, in his integrity, Joseph, in his godliness, he knew where the line was drawn, and he was unwilling to cross the line. In other words, Joseph is reminding not only himself, but he's reminding Potiphar's wife something. Thou art his wife. In other words, he's saying, your obligation is to your husband. And he's reminding her of her obligation unto her husband. And he's therefore saying in verse number 9, notice the end of it, how then can I do this great wickedness? Because if he was to yield to the temptation, if he was to transgress against his master, he would be doing a great wickedness. And friend, he saw it exactly as it was. He knew that God had given him the trust of Potiphar. Potiphar had trusted everything into his hands, but that Pharaoh's wife was exactly that. Thou art his wife. And he said no, because he knew that to sin against his master was a great wickedness. Of course, I would say to you, friends, in work, you need to remember when you go to work, if you're an employee, you can sin against your master. Because before God, if you are an employee, you are to live your life as unto the Lord. You are, in other words, to be a faithful employee. You are to be a trusted employee. And is that the testimony that you have with your employer? Can you honestly say before God that when I go into work and I do my work, that my master, the person who is in my employer today, you don't say my master because that has a different connotation, but you say my employer. That's not just limp over in words. My employer, does he see that I am a person that can be trusted? That he could entrust everything into my hand. He could entrust the rest of the business into my hands. He could trust his finance into my hands. He can trust me because I will not betray the trust. I know where the line's drawn. And the line is drawn in integrity. The line is drawn in honesty. The line is drawn in decency. And my friend, before God, I say to every child of God, and I say this very emphatically to you this morning, you need to have a testimony like that. And Joseph knew where the line was drawn. He said, everything's placed into my hand, but thou, because thou art his wife. And so he's reminding her of her obligation as a wife. But if she was not willing to remember her obligations, he certainly remembered his. He was a child of God as well as a servant of the master. You know, you remember the story of Abraham in the 20th chapter of the book of Genesis. And the Bible tells us that Abraham, he went into a land, and the king there at that time was a man called Abimelech. And because he was going into the land there, and Abimelech was the king, Abraham had a falter in his faith because he did not trust God. He didn't ask God about going in the first place, but he didn't trust the Lord. And so therefore he said to his wife, he said, listen, you say that you're my sister. You are my sister. Now, of course, that was a half-truth. Because indeed, she was a half-sister of Abraham. But it wasn't the whole truth. Half-truth's a very dangerous thing. Because you see, this is why it's dangerous. Because there is a grain of truth in it. That's what makes it. And then people will believe it. There's a grain of truth. And you hold on to the little grain of truth, but you don't mind telling the lie for the rest of it. Let me tell you, a half-truth was a lie. And in reality, Abram said, listen, you know, I'll be killed because you're so beautiful. Sarah, I want you to tell them, you're my half-sister. And you know, Abraham, I've no doubt he loved Sarah, but he was willing to sacrifice his wife, just as Lot was willing to sacrifice the purity of his two daughters for his own skin. So we find that Abraham was willing to sacrifice Sarah. And Abimelech the king took Sarah and brought him into his house and would have taken her to be one of his wives. And you know, the amazing thing was this. An ungodly king turned to Abraham and said this. He said, listen, thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin. Now here's an ungodly man. And it took an ungodly king to tell the child of God that what he was doing was a sin. And he had brought a sin upon King Abimelech and also the people of that land. He called it a great sin. And the penalty of that sin was death. Now God had spoken to Abimelech in a dream. And God says, you're a dead man. Abimelech, you're a dead man. Because this woman that's in thy house, she is another man's wife. And Abimelech said, but she said, I'm a sister. And he said, she's my sister. God says, she's his wife. She's his wife, says God. And God says, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. What does it remind? It is a sin of adultery. And my friend, let me tell you, you can put whatever fancy title upon it. You can put whatever name upon it. The breaking of the marriage bonds by affection to somebody else and entering into a relation with somebody else, it is a sin of adultery. It is a sin of adultery. And I want to tell you this. God says, listen to the commandments. You can't get out of it. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's what God's word says. And that applies to each and every child of God, but it is also a command of God to every man and woman in the marriage relationship. Now, God intervened in Abram's life, and God intervened in Abimelech's life. And God says, I know that you did it in your innocency. I know that you took her in your innocency. And because that's what Abimelech said. Listen, in the integrity of my heart, I did it. I didn't know she was his wife. And God says, well, now you know it. You see, my friend, innocence ceased from that moment that he knew it. And the fact that Abimelech had brought this woman, Sarah, into his house, in his innocence, he did not mean that he could keep her. He says, restore her unto her husband. Give her back. That's what you do. You give her back. There's no playing games here. You give her back. Restore the man's wife. Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. It's very clear. Give her back. And that's exactly what Abimelech did. You see, my friend, had Abimelech refused to give her back, his innocence was over and judgment would have come. He wasn't doing it in innocence anymore. God says she's another man's wife. And here we find in this passage of God's word, Joseph is attract that Joseph is acknowledging that adultery was a great wickedness against Potiphar, his master. But there was a second thing. Let's go back to the book of Genesis 39. He said in verse number 9, the end of it, how then can I do this great thing, or this great wickedness, and sin against God? Sin against God. You see, not only was he answerable to his master, he was answerable to God. And he remembers that God is the one that has been with him. Joseph remembers it's God that has blessed him. It is God that has prospered him. It is God that has looked after him. He's God's child. Friend, let me tell you, you and I need to remember whose we are. When we go into work, remember this, we're the Lord's children. When we go into our place of employment, we are God's child. And we're to live as God's child there. We are to be, as the Word of God says, ye are the salt of the earth. And then it says this, if the salt has lost its savor. Is that true? Have we lost our savor? We are to be there, a preservative in the very place of employment. We're there as God's salt, the salt of the earth. What a tragedy when we lose our savor. Joseph, remember this. If nobody else sees, yes, she says, lie with me. And Joseph says, no. Because if nobody else sees, God does. God sees. And I'm not going to do this great wickedness. I am not going to do it because I'm not going to sin against God. And let's be honest, we live in a society, and every one of us in our lives, there's today a pressure upon people, the pressure to compromise their convictions. But it's not only a great wickedness, it's a sin. It's a sin. You see, sin is an offense against God. You see, the devil's trick is to call sin by some other name. That's all you got to do, put another name on it. It's only a relationship. God says it's adultery. You can put whatever fancy title upon it, my friend. I want to tell you, God's word is still the same. David acknowledged this. He said, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. It is something that is deeply offensive to God. Now notice what he said. Notice what he said to him. He says, how then can I do this great wickedness? How can I do it? How can I? I, who am a child of God, how can I, who am a recipient of grace, how can I? Friend, when the devil comes with a subtle temptation, and remember this, every one of us are tempted. Don't you suggest that, well, you know, that's somebody else. Temptation is something that somebody else goes through. The Word of God tells me the sinless one, the Savior, was tempted. You see, temptation is not sin. It's the yielding to temptation. It's the yielding to temptation. And the devil sought to tempt godly Joseph. But he said, how can I? How can I lie with you, Potiphar's wife, because I'm a child of God? I'm a son of my master or my father, and I am a servant of my master. How can I? And notice then the next thing he says, how can I do? How can I do this great wickedness? You see, friend, as long as it's in the mind, there's room for victory. As long as it's in the mind, there's room for victory. Although I warn you, in God's name, don't allow it to linger in the mind. That's what happened to Eve. It lingered in the mind, and she kept looking, and she kept looking, and she kept looking and thinking about that fruit. It looked good. And in the mind, she started to dwell upon it. But remember, whilst it's in the mind, there's room for victory. But when I do sin, the battle's lost. When I do it, the battle's lost. And that's exactly what Joseph said. How can I do? How can I do it? Sinning against God, that's the bottom line. I'm a child of God. I cannot offend God by doing so wickedly. What do I see in this? I see a young man, a godly young man that had a tender conscience. A godly young man that didn't want to grieve God. Oh, the temptation was attractive. The devil made it attractive, I have no doubt. The Bible doesn't tell us how beautiful that Potiphar's wife she was, but I can tell you this. She had to be a beautiful woman. Had to be a beautiful woman. And here's a young man cast out by his brothers in this situation. And the attraction of the sin. The transgression. But you notice how the devil puts it, my friend. You know, when the devil doesn't get you one way, he tries to word it another way. Notice how he tried to word it. Because notice, first of all, she said in verse number 7, she says, lie with me. She didn't get away with that one. That was blunt. And so she changed the phraseology. You notice that? Notice she said to him, look at verse number 10. It came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her. Now notice it's different now. The first one was this, it was lie with me. Now it is lie by me. You can just lie there. And then he noticed she changed the words again. She says, not only to lie by me, she says, or to be with me. All you've got to be with me. That's your fact. In the midst of this, if you look at the original, it'll suggest that she was even saying to him, she says, you know, you can lie in the next chamber to me. In other words, be close. You don't have to lie with me. You don't even have to lie by me. You can lie in the next chamber to me. What was you doing, friend? Once he took the first step, he was easy prey for the rest of them. And once you and I take in the first temptation of the devil, friend, and listen to what the devil's saying, I want to tell you, we'll be easy prey for the rest. The transgression is a great sin. Then notice next, fifthly, notice the trial of the temptation. Verses 10 and 11. Came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house therein. You know, Joseph gave a very emphatic refusal here. He said no. But he not only said no, he kept on saying no. He refused to entertain her. You know how persistent the devil is? Day by day, it says. She spake to Joseph. She made sure that she was in Joseph's presence day by day. Somehow she made it that she was just there glaringly standing in front of him. Surely someday he'd see how beautiful I am and how attractive I am. She not only put herself in his way, she spake to him. Oh, yes, she made sure that she would get talking to him. And you know, that would be, it was persistent day by day. But thank God, while she was persistent, and the devil doesn't give up easily, friend. Doesn't come with the temptation and then see that you say no and then say, well, listen, there's no use trying him. Or no use trying her. I just better go. No, friend. Day by day. You remember this. There's a roaring lion. It's the devil. And he goeth about. He's seeking. He doesn't pounce the first time. Yes, and if he does and misses, he doesn't give up. Just day by day. Day by day. But you know, Joseph took care. It says he hearkened not unto her. He didn't listen to these fancy words, these flattering words. But not only did he not only hearken unto her, it says he did not lie by her or he did not be with her. He acted wisely. He took care. He did everything he could, friend, to be out of her company. Until one day, look at verse 11. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there therein, and she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." One day, Joseph went into the house. Now listen, I have no doubt whatsoever when Joseph went into that house, he did not go in to sin, and he did not go in to fall into temptation, but he had no choice. He had to go in. It was his responsibility. He had to fulfill his responsibility. Remember, he was still the trusted servant in Pharaoh's house, and he had to go. I'm sure himself, days he had tried not to go, but this day that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and the Holy Ghost is very clear. He didn't go into sin. He didn't go into fall into temptation. He went in to do what he was expected to do as a faithful servant. And that's when she saw her moment. Now, she picked her moment very carefully, what she did. The devil is always very careful. Don't you think he doesn't know what he's doing, friend? Let me tell you, he's seeking to devour you. He's seeking to destroy you. And he pounces at the right moment. Now, listen to me. I said to you, I believe, before God that Joseph had no choice to go in here. He was a faithful servant. And here's what I say to you this morning is this. We have no right to expect God to keep us if we voluntarily put ourselves in temptation's path. We have no right to demand that God keeps us if you and I walk into, if Joseph had walked into that house, walking into temptation's path, but he was there to do his business. It was his responsibility. But there's the other side of that. If we are compelled to go there by the circumstances of our life, then you and I can count on God's faithfulness. You and I can count on a faithful God if you and I are compelled to go by the circumstances of our lives. But if we volunteer, let me tell you this, my friend. The child of God has no reason to stand or walk into a pub just to socialize and wait for somebody to hand him the liquor. That's not your place. There are times in the responsibilities you have, you've got to be in places that you do not feel comfortable in, but the circumstances of life have compelled you to be there. But God will keep you in the midst of, God kept Daniel in the lion's den. But I can tell you, Daniel didn't walk into the lion's den and say, "I'm the big fella here." There are places that you and I cannot say, "God, why didn't you keep me in the midst of that temptation?" But if God brings you there and if God has placed you in responsibility, God will keep his children. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us, our brother read it this morning, it was the Spirit that drove the Savior into the wilderness. And there he was tempted of the devil. He was taken by the Spirit. And you know, we, just as the Savior enjoyed the ministry of angels, so you and I can, because there are ministering angels, the angel of the Lord, and campeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. And delivereth them. But you see, the trial of the temptation was this. There came a day that Joseph had to go into the house. Now, I don't know where she saw him those other days, but she made sure that she flaunted herself in front of Joseph, and she made sure to talk with Joseph, and she made sure to make the suggestions to Joseph to lie with her and to be with her. But Joseph wouldn't hearken. But this day he had to go in because it was his business. And Potiphar's wife carefully chose the moment, because notice what it says there in verse number 11. None of the men of the house were there within. You see, just Joseph and her. And therefore, what she was going to do if this went wrong, what she was going to do or throw herself on Joseph, let me tell you, no other servant can accuse her because there's nobody else there. See how crafty? And then it's her word against Joseph. He's the servant and she's the head of the house. Who do you think's going to believe? Well, we know who they believed. We certainly know who they believed, because Joseph was put in a dungeon. You see how crafty the devil is? But very quickly, I want to just mention this, and then we have to finish this morning. Notice the triumph over the temptation. Look at verse number 12. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." See, she went back to the first one. Wasn't lie by me or be with me anymore. No. She just catches him. She sees the moment to pounce. And so she grabs him. She grabs him. She grabs him by his garment so that he can't get away. And she caught him by his garment saying, "Lie with me." What does that mean, friend? She grabbed him to pull him down to her. What's Joseph going to do? Turn around and say, "Well, you know, I can't be blamed because I didn't do this. It was Potiphar's wife." No, friend. This is what it says in verse 12. And he left his garment in her hand and fled. And he got him out. He got him out. You see, godly Joseph knew there was only one thing he could do, friend. He didn't flirt with trouble. He didn't try to reason with her. He didn't apologize that he had to say no so many times. No, there's only one thing to do. He acted. Studying this, I read these things. He was courteous. He was cautious. Thank God he was courageous. He got him out. He got him out. He left. He ran out, friend. There was a struggle here. She had got a hold of his garment, but didn't care about the outer garment. He didn't care. He cared more about his testimony. He cared about his testimony. You see, any delay could defile him. This wasn't cowardice, friend. This was courage. Because nobody else was going to get him out of it. And there was no easy way to get him out. And if he was going to remain pure, he was going to have to deal with the matter himself. See, when a poisonous snake is about to strike, friend, it's not time to sit around and to think things over. What does the Holy Ghost say? Flee. Flee. Get out. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, it says, "Flee youthful lusts." And remember, Joseph was a young man, and that's what she was playing on. He was a man, young man. The same desires as everybody else. But the Holy Ghost says, "Flee. Get out. Get out." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "Flee fornication." Get out. I'm going to read a verse just and then we're finished because time's away and we've got to come back. It's Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs. It's always good to get to the wee book of Proverbs. It's a tremendous little book. Proverbs chapter 3. Chapter 5, verse 3. Proverbs 5, verse 3. Now, Joseph hadn't this advice because it wasn't written at the time of Joseph. But this is good advice. It says in verse 3, Proverbs chapter 5, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." Remember, she talked to him day by day. That's verse 3. That's verse 3. Verse 4. But her end is bitter. It's as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth." Listen to this. "Remove thy way far from her." Keep away from her. "Come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel." Now, Joseph hadn't got that advice, friend. But there was something that the God of heaven had written in Joseph's heart. You know, years before the Lord Jesus Christ preached the Sermon on the Mountain and gave the Beatitudes, hundreds of years before the Savior taught that, Joseph had learned by the writing on his heart by the Holy Ghost the blessedness of a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God. And may God help us. Listen to me carefully, friend. And this is where we'll start at next Lord's Day. When you do the right thing, don't expect to be rewarded by man. When you do the right thing, don't expect everybody to fall over you. Because Joseph finds he did the right thing, but he finds himself in a dungeon. Why? Because he remembered who he was. Whose he was, whom he served. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to be a Joseph. Do the right thing. But remember, if man doesn't reward, God honors them.